Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big day!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on the story. The Bears have to be broken up. They just can't be allowed to stay together because they're too damn good. Or maybe not. I don't know. They won a game. I mean, it was a great win.
Yeah. Yeah, to pull that out in the fashion that they did was really really something. There's plenty of stuff that they didn't do right yesterday, but also a ton that they did do right. You talk about generating four takeaways. The numbers are overwhelming when the Bears have four takeaways. They're 40-5 since 2000 with four-plus takeaways. So now on the flip side, they had lost 10 in a row dating back to 1979. When allowing 240 or more rushing yards across the league, the previous 100 times a team has allowed the opponent to rush for 240 or more, they're 9-91. So you had some big time trends at opposite ends. The Bears were the team that were able to emerge there, and it's because they did a number on Geno Smith in the passing game. They did just enough to prevent Max Crosby from completely ruining the game. And as bad as the run team was, guys, they got a couple key stops there late. You know, think about when Vegas is first and goal there with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They actually got some negative plays, got some stops, held them to a field goal.
That Crosby guy's pretty good, by the way. Brad, so when we look at big picture, the Bears historically have lost games like this. And before you learn how to win, you have to learn how not to lose. How big of a step was yesterday in that direction, and how lasting can it be for a first-year head coach like Ben Johnson?
It's like they feel like this is the kind of game they should win, right? And I think they should feel that way. They feel like this can be part of their culture. That's a bad Raiders team.
Yep.
I don't think we want to spend too much time this week kind of micro-analyzing what escaping with a one-point win over a team with you know, horrendous offensive line. Geno's played poorly. On the back seven, they've got just guys on defense. Like, I don't think we want to make it into something that it isn't. But 2 weeks after having 52 hung on them in Detroit, they've responded and responded well. Tyreek Stevenson has played well in consecutive weeks. They're getting solid play from a lot of different guys. So all of that, with Ben Johnson kind of laying the foundation for the future, is a very positive sign.
Brad, I think that when we look at this game, some of the takeaways are going to be that the Bears got absolutely steamrolled in the running game. I mean, boy, did they get absolutely rolled over. And when you see a team that can't run and can't stop the run, that's usually an absolute disaster. Do you think that Vegas and maybe the offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, got bored running the football? It felt like they could do it whenever they wanted to, and then all of a sudden there was like a little bit of a shift with them, and maybe they didn't stay with the run the way that they really should have, given the lopsided nature of that game. And how do the Bears now stop the run?
Well, yeah, if I had an answer for how they're going to stop the run here, moving forward, I'd have been on a different plane back from Las Vegas. I'll tell you that much. I don't think they got too far away. I think they kind of leaned into it a little bit more after Geno was picked off there twice in the first half, the first play of the third quarter. You know, they had 31 rushing attempts, 21 passes, and kind of for them to get three picks with a scarce pass rush. I didn't see much in the way of the Bears putting heat on Geno Smith. They only had one quarterback hit yesterday that belonged to Jaquan Brisker. Mm-hmm. But the run D, yeah, because Ashton Jeanty, guys, and the Raiders running offense had been so bad through the first 3 weeks. The discussion in Las Vegas was busted pick. Why in the world would they take a running back at six overall? Who in the world waste that high of a pick on a running back? And talking to people around the team, they felt like a guy who was known for breaking tackles was doing that if on the rare occasions that he got in the secondary, but he was going down with arm tackles from guys in the front seven. And that certainly was not the case against the Bears. They couldn't get off blocks. They could not get him down. There's some ridiculous, they had seven or eight runs of like 11 yards or more. So it was more of what we talked about in the first 2 weeks of the season, which was explosive plays by the opponent. You give up some rushing yards, that's not the end of the world. When you give up explosive plays by the opponent running the ball, you've got problems. And you look at this and say, even with T.J. Edwards, the linebacker, coming back soon, Kyler Gordon, the nickel cornerback, coming back soon, what degree of these issues plaguing this run defense are fixable this season?
Great questions, Brad. In the offensive line, there are different types of questions, and they revolve around your starting tackles. With about 4 minutes left in the second quarter yesterday, Braxton Jones was benched. Theo Benedict went to the left side. Ozzie Trapillo went to the right side to maybe combat the Max Crosby effect or just to get some stability. Braxton Jones advised by the team postgame not to speak to reporters about it. What do you make of that, and where is this all headed?
Yeah, that's a little odd to tell a player that wasn't injured to not talk to reporters after the game. I'm curious to find out what was behind that. Where they go from here, obviously the first step is getting Darnell Wright back healthy with that right elbow injury. And it's not expected to be long-term, or of course he would have been placed on injured reserve already. I don't know, you know, that they made that move to combat Crosby. I don't think your first move to combat Crosby is, hey, let's move one guy to a spot he hasn't really practiced at this week to another spot and bring in another guy who really has never played. Like, that's such a Crosby
Nothing
solution.
Else was working?
And I don't think Braxton was sent to the sideline because of Crosby. Crosby was primarily lining up over that left end position. But really some of the plays he made, you look at it and you're like, well, is that really the right tackle's fault that the guy kind of dropped into space a little bit and made a freaky jump to tip a pass to himself for an interception?
I know what you mean, but could it be a case where Theo Benedict is better on the left side and they knew it, and Ozzie Chiprillo is better on the right side than they knew it, and maybe they felt like those two guys playing at their more natural positions gave them a better chance to protect Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, and Caleb had to run and elude Max a fair number of times. There's no question about that. But I thought the pass pro in general was okay when you're going against a guy like Crosby. What they do moving forward is going to be interesting because they could need Braxton Jones again this season. But right now you're looking at it and you're saying, what's the next move when Darnell's healthy? Is that more Theo than left tackle, or do they even consider looking at Ozzie on the left tackle again? I don't know that they want to keep flip-flopping him, but it's going to be interesting to see what direction this heads. And it was good to see Tripillo get out there. He's obviously really interested in looking at the film and getting some feedback from the coaches, as was Theo Benedict after the game. The Bears went ahead and allowed both those guys to talk to reporters.
Yeah, I am. I got to tell you, it is really bizarre to me. I thought Ben Johnson in the post game was one of the first things he said was nobody of note couldn't finish the game. So that meant either you're dissing the left tackle, he's not of note, or he didn't leave the game due to injury. He said specifically they wanted to go with the two young guys at tackle later on.
So it means no injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, if the guy was hurt, they would have taken his helmet, okay? That's like the first step they do on the sideline when a guy's injured. Jones was holding his helmet or wearing it for the entire rest of the game, so this was not injury-related. Now, an injury situation to potentially keep an eye on is going to involve Cairo Santos with a quad injury that kind of flared up on him in the third quarter. Still went out and kicked that second long field goal, the 52-yarder. But that's why Torrey Taylor was kicking off at the end of the game. And, you know, I asked Cairo, I said, well, what was going to happen? Like, if Daniel Carlson makes that long kick, the Bears had timeouts, it would have had 35 seconds. You know, you get 2-3 plays, you get in range for a long field goal to try to win it at the buzzer. I said, would you have been up, or is that a Hail Mary, or they try Taylor? And he's like, no, I was going to be good to kick field goals, but he said it's more stress on the leg, on the muscles to kick off than it is to hit the field goals or extra points. But I would keep an eye on his health. There obviously will be no injury report this week, but a week from now when they're getting ready to go to Washington, what's the status of the kicker who has been pretty good here last couple weeks for sure?
Brad, less than a minute. I don't know if he's the most valuable player on the defense, but he might be the most improved. To what do you attribute Tyreek Stevenson's growth? Because he's become a guy that seems indispensable.
Well, I think it's attention to detail on and off the field. I think it's becoming more of a professional and approaching his job with you know, a high level of intensity at all times, not just when he's on the practice field, not just when he's in the middle of a game, but the meeting room, film preparation, things of that nature that, you know, weren't consistent through the first 2 years. And the people around the building would tell you that. He'd acknowledge as much. I think that's been critical to his development. And then the Bears, whether they were kind of stuck into a position of wanting to see this through with them or had some belief in them and some required patience, they probably get just a little bit of credit. But he's got, like I wrote it last week, guys, for redemption, he's got a long ways to go. Big play last week with a forced fumble and a super diving pick yesterday, that's great. To prove that you're a reliable guy that's going to have everyone's back at all moments, there's still a lot of ground, I think, for Tyreek to cover. But credit to him for the improvements that he's made, they're noticeable by everyone.
Great stuff, Big Z. Thank you, buddy.
Safe travels.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. And we should.
Lalo Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In that moment, Ben came over to me right before, and he goes, you know, these are times that you're made for. So, you know, it provided, you know, belief and confidence that he has in me. And then from there, I went to the huddle and, you know, looked everybody in the eyes and, you know, this is the moment. This is where we go win the game. Just being composed, trying to be as calm as possible for those guys and look everybody in the eyes and understand that this is our moment. This is where we go win the game.
Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score. That's Caleb Williams right there, who did engineer an 11-play, 69-yard drive to ultimately put the Bears ahead and to ultimately win the game after the 2-yard touchdown pass, with DeAndre Swift being the one to touch the end zone there. Made it 25-24. Josh Blackwell blocks a kick, and the Bears get their second win of the season. They are 2-2 so far this year. What do you think about Caleb Williams' day yesterday, Marshall Harris?
I thought it was less than ideal, given the pocket situation and its tendency to collapse before. He seemed frantic all day long, and understandably so, especially after you see Max Crosby make the type of plays that he's been known to make early on, taking away a scoring opportunity from the Bears. When he bats the ball up in the air, catches it himself, Max Crosby, I think, was in the back front side of everyone's minds that was on offense. I think Caleb Williams was no exception. I do like how he comported himself and got composed down the stretch. When the game was on the line, he made things happen. I'm almost, and this is selfish of me, I'm almost sad that Blackwell blocking the kick took away another opportunity for Caleb Williams to lead this game-winning drive with 30 seconds left. Yeah. Is that crazy? That's crazy.
No, it's a little bit crazy, but I do see
but you
where
get it, right?
You're coming from. I mean, you picked the Bears to be 7-10, so you're not interested in the playoffs anyway. Trying things and doing things like that, for sure. You're right. It was not good enough early on, and I just went through. I mean, they had 90 total yards in the first half. They had three takeaways the defense gave them and gave the ball to with them in really good field position, and a couple field goals came out of that in the first half. That is certainly not good enough. The stumble bum. Did the Raiders sniff that out, or did they not perform the stumble bum well? DeAndre Swift did the fake flea flicker too. We can get to that as well.
That was great.
But the stumble bum, him falling, the fake fall down, did they just not execute it well, or did they sniff it out?
Okay, so I think that they probably didn't see what they wanted to see down the field after doing the actual stumble bum part of it, so there was nowhere for him to go. But we'll have to wait for the All-22 to know what was going on downfield. My initial reaction is, oh, it must not have been there. That was just my initial thought. Because he gets up and looks and decides to, you know, roll out or whatever.
Flung it downfield.
It wasn't there. And back to your original point about the first half and how they weren't good enough early.
Yeah.
Some of that is Caleb Williams, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's most of it is the fact that they could not run the freaking ball.
Yeah, no.
2 yards again, rushing?
Yeah, 16.
2 yards rushing.
88, 2 yards rushing, 88 passing in the first half.
2 yards rushing.
Three penalties, and every Bears penalty just feels like death, doesn't it? Like, they're all of consequence. And they're all, like, their rhymes are never on time when it comes to the penalties. Like, how about just a couple innocuous, you're going to, special teams penalties. You're going to start the ball at the 20 instead. Like, I'll take those, but it just feels like every single one of them are bad. Caleb obviously had a fumble in the second quarter. The ball's batted down. You know, that's another issue that we just talked about a little bit with Weederer, and he has to adjust better. So there were definitely issues. We talked about the great drive that he engineered. Let's hear from Ben Johnson on that final drive that ultimately gave the Bears the victory.
Oh, shoot. I can't remember play by play, to be honest with you, but I remember talking to Caleb before he took the field, and I said, this is what you're built for. These are the moments that he thrives in the most. I think that's really been the story of his life, to be honest with you. And I know he came through for us in a big way. That was a heck of a pass rush. We knew what 98 was capable of. And then, the rest of those guys are really hard blocks as well. And so for us to look up, and we only had one sack, it certainly felt a lot worse than that, because Caleb was having to elude a lot and continue to evade that rush. And so, he found a way. The playmakers found a way. Our O-line found a way to hold on there for us to get a touchdown when we needed it the most.
Yeah, and the thing about Caleb is, as we know, one of the issues for him is not getting rid of the ball quickly enough. Some of that rose up again yesterday. And again, and I get it, like the offensive line was rough in the first half, but knowing when to eject and knowing when to keep your poise and look downfield and find the guy instead of ejecting and things going frantically.
You think he broke the glass in case of emergency a little early
sometimes,
on some of those plays?
Sometimes.
No, I can see that. I think the thing when I was watching him is he wanted to make something happen so badly. Sometimes you just have to eat it. But I think after the way that first half went, especially with just no offensive momentum, just three field goals at the break, even though your defense is sitting here, you go.
Yeah.
Here you go. And them not being able to take advantage of it. I wonder, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall during the halftime goings on.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's rough. That is handing you the game on a platter. You have to take advantage of those moments. And that's why this was, that's why we're using words like gritty to describe this win. Do you say ugly? Do you say gritty?
There's certain quarterbacks that you just expect, if they're in the game late, they'll make something happen.
Yeah.
And this one, we go back to the Chiefs, Ravens, Bills. Like, those quarterbacks. If
shout out, Layla.
Yeah. If those quarterbacks are in the game and they're down by a score, it's... And when they're playing each other, it's usually who has the ball last is going to win the game.
Yeah, and you could see the makings of it with Caleb, right?
I mean,
like, you feel pretty good when he has that desperation in mind where he can let loose. It's on you, man. Go win the game. Do what you got to do. Do whatever you got to do.
It was either a caller or a texter earlier today who referenced this being the opposite of the Washington game. The Commanders game last year.
I believe
it
was Ryan Porth who brought that up in our pre-show meeting.
Is that
it not?
Is that who it
was?
Yeah,
it was Ryan Porth.
Ryan Porth.
Did bring that up. See, I remember
things. Shout out to Ryan Porth.
Pre-show meeting means something to me, not to you.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, Ryan brought that up, yes.
It probably means more to you. I won't lie.
It does. I love the pre-show meeting.
But I'll say this. The thing about that game in Washington, Caleb Williams led them on a game-winning drive, not once, but twice.
Yes.
Because the first time, Doug Kramer fumbled the ball away at the goal line. But then he did it again and gave them the lead, only to see it go away. And I thought he was going to have to do it again in this game. But my point is, if Caleb Williams can get it done at the end of games, that will solve a lot of the quote-unquote problems that the Bears offense has.
No doubt, but I do not want to regress back to what last year was for Caleb Williams, and that was oftentimes bad first half, and then he turns it on in the second half, third and fourth quarters, and it's too little too late. Now, yesterday, it worked out just fine, but I don't want to go back to that place because then you are regressing. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Grody, I don't know what more you want from a guy who threw for 98 yards in the first half. Watching his running game produce 2 yards. You're not going to be able to do anything if you can't run the football. And remember, last week, all I said all week long was this. This goes back to high school football or middle school football or whatever level of basic football. Can you run the football and can you stop the run? The answer to both those questions was no for the Bears, but somehow they got a win. Think about that.
Yeah, well.
Did they run the football, Grody?
No, they did not.
Did they stop the run?
They did not.
The question I kept asking myself is, why are they passing the football? Just run.
It's
3 yards in a cloud of dust. Actually, against the Bears defense is more like 10 yards in a cloud of dust. But you get my
gist. That's why I told them boys on the radio in Las Vegas. I said, guys, Genty's going to do some stuff in this game. Like, you guys might see a breakout performance, but the Bears are still going to win the game. Now, I did not expect the Bears to win the game like they did, but they did win the game. And I only just thought it was because, look, I get like these two teams kind of mirrored each other in terms of their seasons and what they do well and what they don't do well so far this year. But I still thought the Bears were a better team and, believe it or not, a better organization than this Raiders organization is right now, which is why the Bears should trade for Max Crosby. This segment is being brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
To your Max Crosby point, 847 on the text line. It looked like Max Crosby bought a condo in the Bears' backfield.
Pretty much. And he's a very aggressive landlord, too. He's the guy that's huffing and puffing, like waiting for you on the first of the month to get your check. That's Max Crosby.
I don't know that I agree with this particular text. 847 says, it's almost like Caleb has mental lapses or he gets bored during the game. And then when the game's on the line, he gets back into it. I don't think it's that simple because he was doing a lot of scrambling for his life yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if he wasn't alert yesterday, he probably would have gotten hurt. How about we hear from Caleb Williams on those moments, if you will?
I think that the belief... I think those moments that, you know, we're born for, that I'm born for, and I think being able to portray the belief that, you know, guys, this is all we got, and this is all we need. We're you know, in a position where we're not in a favorite position. We're down. It's all 11 of us on the field, and we got to go do a job. And so I think just the belief, the trust, the hard work that we put in, those are the moments that you wish for. Those are moments that you dream about. And so being able to have those moments and come through is important for, one, the confidence, especially, like I said, in the moment where, you know, it's not a favorite position. You're away, you're down, and you got to go win the game. So it's a confidence builder. It's a culture builder for us. And, you know, especially the type of game we had, a grimy game, like you said, and being able to come together in the end, it builds a lot of confidence for us. And obviously we have things that we have to find ways to get better, get the run game going, get early completions, fast completions. And then obviously when we get our shots, take them. But I think we're, you know, we're creating something, you know, special here, and we got to keep going. Something that we got to keep building on. But it's a tough team, tough opponent over there, tough defense, and they got you know, some really good players over there. And so being able to come together and find a way to come out victorious is, like I said, I think it's a big win for us, especially my first one on the road.
Grimy, better than gritty. I like that description. Gritty is almost like too positive for this game. This game was grimy. That was Caleb Williams here. This is Raheemy Harris and Grody, and we are talking about Caleb Williams' game, which was 22 of 37, 212, a touchdown and a pick. I would just like to see that, a little bit more of that through the first three quarters. I mean, the first drive again, a three and out, but this one... And I think if I remember correctly, you were doing a little bit of enabling on this one.
Tell me.
The DeAndre Swift, the third and three. Yeah, it was a third and three to DeAndre Swift, and Caleb Williams zipped it in there, and DeAndre Swift couldn't handle it. And you're like, well, it was a little bit hard the way he threw the ball.
I think DeAndre Swift was caught off guard, which there's no excuse for that. But I thought there was a little extra zip on there.
There was some zip, but you got to be able to put it out there
in a position where he can like catch it comfortably and in stride run with it. It was like, here, take the ball.
All right, what do you got for the Cole Kmet drop then? You got an excuse for that one?
Cole Kmet, like you just read the stats. It's like, well, are we counting the times where players just drop the ball? Because if you're going to bring up DeAndre Swift, you got to talk about Cole Kmet. And you talk about the offense as a whole. If you've got four false starts as a team and one person is responsible for half those starts and he kills one of your drives that could have been a touchdown drive, you get my drift.
Yeah.
That's Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet had a bad game yesterday.
Yeah.
He had a bad game. And I think if you're Cole Kmet, what you couldn't afford to do yesterday was have a bad game. Because on the other side of the bye, they'll have another tight end. I believe he was a first-round pick.
I hope Colson Loveland is back.
Who will probably be getting the lion's share of targets and work as a tight end, as TE1, now that we've seen Cole Kmet have his opportunity.
You're putting Cole away after that
game,
I'm
not putting him away. I'm just saying he's secondary now.
Yeah. Do you know he's from here, man? I mean, you can't just put away a seven Bear player.
I understand that he's from here, which is...
I'm kidding, man.
I hope he rebounds, bounces back. I hope he gets the opportunity, because it doesn't look like he's going to get the opportunity, because there's other weapons that need to be used.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, that's an inexcusable game for him. Where is Roshan?
That question will
be asked every single week.
Special teams?
Yeah, special teams is where you can find Roshan Johnson, and I've shared with you guys, you know, he's trying to figure it out, too. Coming up next, we will take a brief departure from Bears. And then we'll get right back to Bears.
What are we talking about?
We talk about the Cubs.
That's right.
The Cubs are in the playoffs.
Your guy, Seiya Suzuki.
The only place that you can hear the Cubs playoff games locally is right here on 670 The Score.
Wow. Tell them where we'll be tomorrow.
Gallagher Way.
Yeah.
We'll be at Wrigley Field.
Come say hi to Mark Grody and Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Yeah.
Please do. We would welcome that. It's going to be awesome as we will get ready to preview this playoff series, which we will do more of coming up next here on the Rahimi, Harris, and Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Olin, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good. Another win. Going to bye week. Enjoy the win. The gutsy performance by the Chicago Bears. Not a lot right in that game except winning it. And learning how to win is a thing in the NFL, as we've talked about a lot with this football team. So to watch them play the way they did and then at the end of the game find a way to win the game and find a way to block a field goal, you know, still trying to watch this film and figure out exactly how they did it. But they did
right. Is the key to making the most and maximizing this victory, which revealed your resilience and all the things that you want to call an under the category of a character win, Olin, is the key to making this important, not making it too important, if you know what I mean? You don't want to act like you've arrived, and yet you want to find something as a frame of reference, because if you're a first-year head coach, that's exactly the response you're looking for in the fourth quarter.
Exactly, David. Well put by you, because obviously winning in the NFL is really hard. And then winning on the road, although we could argue whether that was a road game or not, but you still got to travel out west. It's a long flight. You know, Coach Johnson takes his team out there to Las Vegas. It's really important for this football team, with all the losing that they have done here, to win, to stack wins, to gain confidence in what they're doing and what their coaches are saying. You take coaching just a little better, right? After a win, and you don't feel like, man, this guy's he's blaming me for a loss. We won. Now let's go back and correct what's on film. Let's go over our penalties again, that we had too many of them. I mean, the Chicago Bears guys have three takeaways in the first half to one, you know, Max Crosby's batted interception that he caught. And they're still losing the game, right? All the way to the fourth quarter. They're 4-1 in the takeaways and still losing the game all the way to the end of the game. Still found a way to win the game, found a way, like, you know, watch Caleb stand that pocket under all that pressure, man. And they're blitzing him on that play, and he hits Romo Dunze on a third down for a touchdown. The third time, I think, in the last three games that those guys have connected on a third or eight or more for a touchdown, which is, that's another stat. That's unbelievable to me when I watch the Chicago Bears play. But gutsy performance, we talked about last night on a post-game show, finding a way just to win a football game when it seems like nothing is going right. You got musical chairs out there at your tackle position against a game wrecker. You're doing everything you can to slow this guy down, hanging in the game, showing your toughness, showing what the coach talked about. Coach looks like he wants to fight reporters. Everything's going on in that game, and they find a way to win.
It is, you know, it's kind of extraordinary when you think about it that this, you know, I'm not sure how many administrations of the Bears we've seen over the years would have won that game. It just, there were so many missed opportunities, and usually when those kind of load up on you, certainly last year for certain, but in other years where that would have been overpowering to them. Is it the is it the coach that is helping to overcome that sort of thing? Is it the quarterback? He's got this knack of kind of being able to produce a big moment. I just wonder what you attribute it to as you look back on it, Olin.
Yeah, when you watch the film, Caleb, it's interesting to watch it, right, the last couple of weeks, because nothing's been amazing except for his arm talent, which obviously is, you know, when he throws some of these footballs that he gets away with throwing them because just how great his arm is. But it's like when you're watching this film, guys, he has like a steady presence on the team, right, where he's just making the play, getting out of trouble when he has to, throwing the ball away when he has to. Now, you know, he did have that fumble that he recovered by himself on mm-hmm. that zone read that Max Crosby caused, but he did recover it, you know, and stay hanging in the pocket, not trying to do too much, not throwing crazy interceptions like Geno was doing, just doing the things that he needs to do in the system. And we talked about yesterday, you know, Pat Manley was saying turnovers in bunches and Caleb's got to be great. And I thought, well, when I watched the game at first, he wasn't great, but that actually was great what he was doing, right? Just hanging in the system, playing in the pocket, keeping his teammates calm. And when the time comes, I'll make the plays and we'll make the plays to win this game with what a lot of people consider one of the top play callers in the NFL and one of the top talents at quarterback in the NFL, Mully. And I think that's what you're seeing there on film. And then give Dennis Allen a little credit with that simulated blitzes that he's been running the last 2 weeks that have confused veteran quarterbacks on third down, right? Seven guys up, drop it to cover three. He's got a wily veteran there in Byard who has them a deep middle, but he's taking a chance on sitting on those throws in the middle of the field because he understands what Geno likes to do, and he gets two interceptions. So those things combined, good coaching, great good quarterback, and just timely plays won that game. And I heard you guys shout out Coach Hightower, the special teams coach, been hard on him on a few of my interviews. But look, yesterday, even with Torrey Taylor's punt, right, all those points mattered at the end of the game when you win by one. Torrey Taylor kicks it 62 yards, and it stops there on the one-yard line. And we've been waiting for that since Ryan Poles took a punter in the fourth round. So a lot of things, and then a block punt, a lot of things at the end of the game. You got to look at the plays they made to win the football game and give them credit for that.
This segment with Olin Kreutz is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. So, Olin, T.J. Edwards and Grady Jarrett did not play, which I think we have to keep in mind when evaluating the Bears' run defense. That mm-hmm. said, they've got to be better than give up 240 yards on the ground. It was a combination of things from the naked eye. Tremaine Edmonds not taking great angles, guys getting blown off the ball, missed tackles mm-hmm. on Genty the first time, and yet there were two plays in a row where Andrew Billings moved the pile back. So I don't mm-hmm. know what to make of the Bear run defense. I think they have the personnel to stop it, and yet they're not really stopping anyone.
That's a great point by you, and really they haven't stopped anyone since fourth quarter of the Minnesota game, right? So that run defense has been a problem. Run defense and running the ball is why I had the Raiders beating the Bears yesterday. Mm. Obviously, as pointed out by Pat Manley, they had to get a ton of takeaways to offset that. To win the game, he channeled his inner Lovie Smith and found a way to win that game, right? So when you watch their defense, like you're saying, David, and I've been saying for a while, I want to see them move Jonathan Ford up and kick Javon Dexter out to three technique and put Billings as their starting nose guard. I think they're better there. Shamar Turner really needs to get his pads down. Although the last play of the game, the Raiders ran a tackle trap. Shamar Turner blows up the tackle pulling and then make a stop there. I think it was Byard stopped them in the backfield for a two-yard loss before they got that field goal block. So their defense, though, to the point of what you're saying, is they're not hanging in their gaps, right? They're not beating blocks. They're not changing the line of scrimmage. Obviously, on that quarterback sneak, and then they went for it on fourth and one, which is another 3 points that Carroll gave them. On that quarterback sneak, the center just basically blows his responsibility. I mean, for me, man, on fourth and one, I'm probably not going to let Billings go free, right? And then Noah Sewell hits the Genty and it causes the fumble. They have a lot of work to do on that defense, and Coach Allen's trying everything, whether it's blitzing the safety off the end, playing man coverage behind, getting some movement behind there. These D linemen, guys, they're just getting beat on blocks one-on-one. You got guys swimming out of their gaps, not hanging in their gap, not allowing their teammate to make plays. They got to trust each other. They got to trust their teammates. They got to hit their run fits. All the things you hear about, get your hand inside. There was a drive in there where Javon Dexter did walk back from the three technique position, did walk the guard back in the backfield. They did stop the run on that play. Those are the things that you need to see more of from the Chicago Bears, Tremaine Edmonds, T.J. Edwards coming back, like you're talking about. There's not some big run stuffer who's hurt and not and out like Billings was last year when we said, well, they don't have Andrew Billings. That's why they can't stop the run. Well, that still continues. That continues right now And I don't know how long you could keep producing four takeaways a game and a field goal block to win football games when you're giving up that much yards rushing.
David, I'm sure you already know for our listeners that the qualities of courage, loyalty, teamwork, dedication, and humor are those recognized by the Piccolo Award. And Olin Krutz has more than any bear in history with four of them.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm aware of that.
We are blessed to have our guest this morning. Olin, yes. When you went back and looked at that tape, how did the tackles play? What did you see? I thought maybe Braxton Jones was hurt, but apparently not. And what does that tell you? Are we seeing Theo Benedict becoming the starting left tackle of the Bears? What will happen over the next week, in your opinion?
Yes, we have the Piccolo Award and the Father Finnegan Award for the Loyola University here with Molly and me. And Molly are.
And David's in the Indiana Hall of Fame.
David's in Indiana Hall of Fame.
We've got a mutual. We got a mutual admiration society. Dustin, what have you ever done?
Just give Dustin an award.
Spring in client of the year.
You got four Piccolos. Throw him one.
Dustin would be a Piccolo Award winner. I've worked with Dustin. He is that kind of teammate. Listen, the only thing I can think about when I watched the tackles play this morning was it was a messy game, man. It really was. And they're looking for answers out there on the edges. And Theo Benedict came in and he put Ozzie Tripillo in the game and gave Ozzie a ton of help there with Crosby, which you have to, right? And I heard a caller talk about all the 12 personnel and even three tight ends they played. And that was the reason. You got to slow that guy down. The guy's an absolute game wrecker when you watch him on film. Theo did in the fourth quarter, his pass pro was a little better. He stood up, but that's just going to be a position we're going to watch, guys. And they were still getting beat out there. And that's what I'm saying about Caleb with his steady presence, where when he's got to get out of pocket, he does. But also, man, guys, like sometimes the tackle getting beat clean. I seen Kuntz just run by Theo Benedict and he got it out to Romo Dunze, find his foot, stepped in the pocket and delivered. Really steady presence there from Caleb yesterday. This tackle problem, guys, I think for right now, we're going to deal with this for a while, right? I think these guys have to develop. They have to get on film. They have to get better. I don't know if you go back to Braxton after benching him yesterday. I don't know if you really can. So I think we're looking at it depends. Darnell Wright comes back. And then, Theo Benedict is probably your starting left tackle. And we'll see what they do with the swing guy. And I don't know if Braxton goes from starting left tackle to inactive, right? Like, I don't know if that happens because you only have one swing tackle. And would that be Ozzie Tripillo? And if that happens, if Theo Benedict gets hurt, does Darnell Wright move to left tackle and Ozzie Tripillo play right tackle? So a lot of questions there at the tackle position for the Chicago Bears, especially with Darnell Wright's injury and then taking Braxton Jones out of the game yesterday. It wasn't like they came in and you're like, man, these guys lit the world on fire. They were still struggling a little bit, but they did enough again to win the football game, to find ways to put enough points on the board to beat the Las Vegas Raiders.
Holden, I don't need to tell you how important leadership is at the quarterback position. So when you have a guy get into the huddle with 6:39 left, they're at the 31-yard line, you're down 24-19. I think anybody from, Kyle Orton to every quarterback in succession until Caleb Williams would have gotten in the huddle and said, you know what, guys, this is our moment. We're going to go score. But there's a level of belief that Caleb Williams is building that makes you think what he's saying is more than just rhetoric or more than what just he's supposed to say. What value do you place in the way that he led that drive and the belief that he maybe has instilled in his teammates that he will come through in the clutch when necessary?
Yeah, guys say that a lot, right? When they come in the huddle at the end of games, they're going to go down there and win. But not a lot of guys are talented enough, right? Not a lot of guys have the talent to move around in the pocket and the arm talent to beat, to throw balls in the NFL, fit them in windows, find the receivers, put the ball on a rope, layer the ball over, Jamal Williams there, lay it over him to Romo Dunze, find ways to make plays, to do the things that you got to do and have all that talent that he has to be the number one pick in the draft. So, yes, you believe in that. And then also the guy on the sideline, right? The head coach, who is the offensive guru, and they put these two guys together. And like you're saying, David, there's belief now. It looks like, okay, we can make these plays. We don't have to be, you know, I've played with quarterbacks before where you had to be perfect. Everything had to be perfect. The protection had to be perfect. The route had to be perfect. The coverage had to be perfect. It makes it miserable out there, man. It really does. If even for an offensive player, if he calls a play and it's like, man, if we don't get the coverage, I don't know if we have anybody who can make a play. Now, they have a quarterback who has a special arm talent, who also can move around in the pocket, can use his legs to hurt the defense. But then also on the perimeter, they have guys who can beat guys, right? They have Romo Dunze. They have DJ Moore. You know, Cole Kmet had some drops yesterday, but they have Cole Kmet. You know, they got Zacchaeus. I heard you guys talk about him. On blitzes, it looks like Caleb's really looking for him. They even got Swift on those downs to put him in space and give him the ball. So you don't have to be perfect out there, right? You don't – like if the left tackle gets beat – listen, I seen the left tackle get beat clean and Rome Odunze is wide open. He beat his guy that fast and the ball came out that fast. So that's where the confidence comes from when you have guys like that and then you have a coach who will run the ball twice into the end zone at the end of the game. And because that's a smart call because the Raiders are not expecting it.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Olin, I thought it was very interesting you mentioned that you have seen on tape the various offenses where the coaching staff come from. We know Ben Johnson. They talked about it on the broadcast yesterday, how he declined the idea of just bringing people that he has worked with before in and trying to get a sample of various other offenses from around the league, Kansas City, New Orleans, Denver, et cetera. And you see some of that on the offense he's running.
Yeah, you really do. And you see them trying to find, when you say, okay, what's wrong with the run game, you see them trying to put all these concepts together and develop their run game, right, with Bieniemy's run game where he was with Andy Reid so long. You see some of that in there where he was with Washington last year. You see some of that in there, right? Declan Doyle, Sean Payton guy. Roshar, kind of a Sean Payton guy. So Ben Johnson, right, with Dan Campbell and Hank Fraley and his run game. And you see that, you know, when I watch the film, guys, like the details in the run game are just a little off. And they got all these concepts and they're trying to work them together. And the hope is, and I think it will happen, the hope is that eventually they find out what they are there at Halasson. I think some of these struggles we see on offense for a long time through periods of games are that, right? Like I always watch it from the center position. I always watch it. I see the game from there, obviously, for there's reasons why. I played it for 14 years. You know, there's nobody going to a certain linebacker, and that confused me. Like, who has that linebacker? You know, I think the first play of the game, the Mike linebacker ran free and made a tackle, and they're running outside zone to the left. Somebody's got to have the linebacker, right? I don't know who it is. I don't know what their game plan was, but I know someone is accountable for him, and they're just letting him go free. So a lot of their run game looks like that to me, even their pass game sometimes and their pass protection. Where do I fit in? How do I handle this three-man game on a pass rush that came free yesterday for the Chicago Bears on that one, that sack that Caleb did have, you know, that knocked them back there. But a lot of that stuff, they're trying to figure out, trying to get their rules for their offense down, and it's just going to take, I know people don't want to hear it, but you do don't mind hearing it after you win football games, right?
Right,
and this
right.
is going to take a little bit of time.
Great stuff, Olin. And it's right. You're right. It's better to talk about these things after the Bears win than lose.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
You too. That is Olin Krutz. He is, you know, obviously he's got the teamwork down, the dedication, the loyalty. Yeah. He's a funny guy. I mean,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. Come on.
Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Geno Smith going to run for it, and he is picked again. Tyreek Stevenson with a mesmerizing play. And that turns the tides in Chicago's favor quickly. Sacrifice his body to make that diving, lunging pick, offering up his body to make a play for his team. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I like that word, mesmerizing. Very good. Game was on CBS2, Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta, the ex-Bear, doing the broadcast of the Bears' 25-24 win over the Raiders. Raheemy, Harris, and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A few text messages before we get to the player Marshall thinks is most symbolic of the Bears' 2-2 start. The Bears' secondary showed up. The linebackers forgot how to tackle. Genty was wrapped up on all three of his TDs. Actually, Byard missed one of those. Sewell and Edmonds are unexcusable for their missed tackles. Yeah, there was some of that. Grody's a Bears fan. You can check out anytime, but you can never leave. Isn't that the truth? And Grody is obnoxious. Got to click off. Okay.
What?
Fair enough. Fair enough. 312-644-6767 if you'd like to join the fun. Who is this player you speak of, Mr. Harris, that is symbolic of the Chicago Bears?
Do you remember 2 weeks ago, Mark Grody, when we sat in this very studio lamenting the Bears embarrassing themselves, embarrassing the organization, embarrassing the city of Chicago, and getting blown out by the Detroit Lions? Do you remember that?
I do.
I want you to remember that. I need you to like really go back to that place, because I know we're in a very different place right now.
Yes. You want me to go back there. Okay.
How you were feeling, your emotions.
Just embarrassed, I think.
Do you remember the vitriol you had for one Tyreek Stevenson and his attempts to slow down whoever he was guarding?
Absolutely. It was 100% bad that day.
Not just that day. He, at that point, through two games, had a 158.3 passer rating against.
Oof.
That's a perfect passer rating. When you throw to him, things happen.
It does not get worse, folks. In case you're keeping score at home, write this down. It doesn't get worse. Or could it?
Since then, Tyreek Stevenson has had a moment of what I believe was not only team reflection, where people told him, hey, you're not good, but also where he was told he could be better, and they expected more of him. And he looked in the mirror and expected more of himself. And he has turned in two outstanding efforts the last 2 weeks that have resulted in Bears wins. As Tyreek Stevenson has gone, so have these Bears. Tyreek Stevenson ain't playing up front. He can't stop the run at the point of attack. What he can do is make plays. That interception he made yesterday was as acrobatic and athletic a move. Not just the fact that he dove and caught it on Geno Smith's pass, but the way he popped back up looking to run before, of course, getting the wind knocked out of him at the end of the play. But I think his play and his attitude is symbolic and hopefully systemic to what Ben Johnson is trying to do here in the infancy of his regime.
What a turnaround it would be if this is what he is. You know what I mean? After, because the horrible game he had where the passer rating was perfect against him, that is, like, all that did was just rustle up the memories of his season last year, which wasn't just the Washington game. In general, he just did not have a good season. And much is expected. This is a second-round pick who, you know, like everybody thought, like right away, I remember his first training camp, and he was excellent in it. He was the guy that you could just see the athleticism taking over. It just feels like a guy. And he went through all the list of things that the team told him to do to literally know the plays, know what you're doing out there, staying focused, all of that kind of stuff. At least now it appears. Like, will it continue? I mean, that's the big key here. It appears that part is starting to sink in a little
bit. Well, so you ask, will it continue? That is the big key, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because if it were to continue, I'm sorry, what's the next game on the Bears' schedule?
That would be the Washington game.
Oh.
And totally redeem himself.
I mean, what better about face? What better 180-degree moment could he have, but then, and not then, but also the idea that he would have some of his friends maybe back to help by that time, whether it's Grady Jarrett or Kyler Gordon or TJ Edwards, one or all of the above.
Something has to happen in that game, period. I don't care if it's, you know,
it's bubbling, right?
Tyreek Stevenson doing something like just a pick six to win the game, your own field goal to win the game at the last second. Something crazy has to happen in that game.
And I'm not trying to re-legislate what happened last year. We all know what happened on the fail Mary.
It'll be re-legislated but
we know leading into that game, that's all he's going to be. The thoughts, the memories of that are going to be in his head. Even though this is a new team with a new head coach, somebody who would understand that, you know, on third down, after the kickoff, you probably wanted to stop them from doing what they did because that play did matter. You know, before the Hail Mary attempt. And so I just want people to understand that Tyreek Stevenson is having himself a moment and that the Bears are benefiting from the moment to the tune of 2-0 since he's seemingly turned things around. And I agree with Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune, where you say, yeah, it was nice. And even after two games, yeah, it was nice. But it's going to take a series of games, of a course of a season, for people to believe in Tyreek Stevenson, that he could be the answer, that he deserves his payday and all of that. But I think he's off to a good start here after falling deep into a hole after an 0-2 start.
It is Raheemy Harrison Grody right here on The Score. Layla is off today. Why don't we listen to Tyreek Stevenson, who tackles the question that we continue to tackle, and it seems like we always have to when it comes to the Bears, and that is, what is the identity of these Chicago Bears?
Definitely great that the team got the win and everything, but I think for us as a team and as a coaching staff, I think we showed grit. We showed that we're going to stay within the game. We're going to play the full 60 minutes until the end, and that we're going to pull out whatever tricks and whatever we need, pull up our socks, and we're just going to go to work. And I feel like that's what this team showed today with this win. Coming down to the last 30 seconds, lay it out for the field goal, but, you know, just having the offense fight back and having the defense go out there and put up the shield that we need. So I'm definitely just happy with this team and happy with the success that we have.
That's Tyreek Stevenson right there. Yeah, it was a gritty, tricky win, as he said, but I don't think I want that to be the identity of the Chicago Bears. I think that that's what that win was, and good for them. Very, very gritty, very tricky what you did in that game. But let's work on a better identity than that. Let's have our identity be offense. Let's have our identity be getting to the quarterback. Let's have it be stopping the run. Let's have it be pick sixes.
You said a lot of things that I know could not be true.
Like what?
Let's get to the quarterback?
Well, I'm saying that's what you would prefer your identity to be. Like, that's such an ambiguous idea for an identity. That's a good wit, like, idea way to describe the win. Well, but to say, yeah, our identity is gritty. No,
Robbie
no,
and I
no,
were
no.
talking about this before the show, and I Robbie and I for once are in lockstep. Not about Josh Giddey, not about the Lions or the Tigers, but we're in lockstep about this. If you say you want to be gritty, right? That means you got a certain edge to you.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means you're not getting run over for 200 plus yards. That means you're not giving up 7.7 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't buy into the grit. That's why I said it's more about them being opportunistic right now and just hanging around and then making something happen at the end. And Caleb Williams, he has that type of ability as a quarterback to hang around and make something happen at the end. And clearly Josh Blackwell showed us yesterday that he can also make something happen at the end. But right now, they're not good enough from a health standpoint and from an actual consistency standpoint to be what they want to be. But if you can hang around, maybe they can get there over the course of the first season for Ben Johnson as a head coach.
I will say, though, that the thing that is trending towards being their identity is, God, dare I say, the quarterback in terms of what he has been doing. And look, this game was not as good, Caleb Williams, as his last game. He was 22 of 37, 212 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. But yes, he does engineer that 11-play, 69-yard drive to win the game on the DeAndre Swift 2-yard touchdown, makes it 25-24. Ultimately, that is what won you the game. He had that 27-yard touchdown pass to Roma Dunze in the third quarter on a 3rd and 12. I mean, that's ballsy in itself, and he kind of had to make a play right there. The 29-yard completion to Cole Kmet in the second quarter, and then on the same drive where he drops it in the bucket again to Cole Kmet, and oh no!
What happened then?
Cole Kmet dropped the football. So you got back to having some of those amazing moments from Caleb Williams. Was not nearly as good as it was last week, but if I am trying to anticipate what they are angling for in terms of the identity, it's that guy throwing the football.
This is Rahimi Harris and Grody. That's Mark Grody. I'm Marshall Harris. Talking about the Bears' big 25-24 win over the Raiders. It's big because, one, it's just a win. And it gets them to 2-2 as opposed to 1-3. Two, it was on the road, and that's like the next step. We're going to take your calls. You can continue to text us, 312-644-6767. Grody, I look at this, and I wonder, when we're talking about what we want their identity to be, and I'm curious as to what people listening want their identity to be, can it be a team that just creates turnovers on defense? Is that enough to keep them afloat? Because right now they're trying to stay afloat.
Oh, it'll keep them very well afloat. Yeah, absolutely.
Because
it's just like, I don't want the Bears to have to go to maximum effort to win games or to count on luck or to count on playing a bad team. That's all. I just want better for them.
Oh, trust, they're going to play plenty of not bad teams coming up, and we'll get a better examination. But by then, you would think Caleb Williams will be another step down the road on this Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams journey. And I think that's what you have to lean into. The most impressive thing to me about, we could say what we want about how the offensive line did not do a good enough job against Max Crosby, but how many times was Caleb Williams sacked yesterday?
What was it?
One.
I was going to say.
One.
0-1.
What? It didn't feel like one. Yeah. Watching the game?
Oh, yeah, because he was constantly in trouble.
But he was getting them out of trouble. You know what he was doing? He was keeping them afloat.
Yeah, we haven't really gotten into the offensive line situation with Theo Benedet and Ozzie Trapilla. We're going to have Anthony Heron on later. We've got Wiederer of the Take the North podcast and The Athletic coming up at 11. That's right. So guarantee we'll get into that. And we're going to start taking your calls in the next segment. As a matter of fact, we might just do an appetizer.
Oh, you want to do an appetizer?
Right now, 312-644-6767. Because I can't deny the people anymore. They've been calling since we started the show. Since we mentioned the word phone, they've been calling. So let's get a little Bears appetizer on what this game did for you. Is this sustainable? Let's go to Joe in Lockport. Joe, you're the appetizer. You're delicious. What's going on? You're on the Score as well.
How we doing? I was just thinking Tyrique Stevenson probably turned the Bears around two different directions 2 years in a row. From the Hail Mary, and we went one direction to that fumble takeaway in Dallas, and now we're going a different direction. He might have single-handedly changed the direction both ways.
Boy, that would be amazing. I like that. It's very dramatic, Joe.
It's a little early for all that.
I like that we're doing a lot of storytelling, though. I like that we're romanticizing the Bears.
I think it's early to just say he's turned things around. I mean, it's been two games, one. But I will say this. The interception and the fumble recovery yesterday tells me that he's got more in him. I predicted he would get a turnover, by the way. I predicted that last week.
Right now, I'm angry at everybody on the show, I think. And we'll get to all your calls.
What do we do?
The 815, mark the tape or whatever that is flapping on your headphones is very comedic with your wild animations this morning. Bears, Dan B.
I see what he's saying because you have a little. we need to get some scissors and tape. It's the other one.
Oh, it's the
it's
other
out
side.
Front.
Okay.
Yeah, it's out front.
It's like if you had food in your teeth. Like I didn't know to tell you or not.
Yeah, right. Let's just get this out of the way. If my fly is ever open, I need you guys to tell me. Okay.
No, basically,
that's really what the bottom line is.
But you knew what your headphones looked like coming in here.
Yeah, let's be honest. I probably did, and I am very animated today as well. And I usually am. I'm usually
So the front of your right flap. If you're with us on Twitch,
yes,
it is flapping away every time you move your head because it's just the liner has come off.
I look like Dumbo. Aw, poor me. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody. Let's take the break because this is a good time to get in if you would like to talk about the Chicago Bears. And quite frankly, Marshall, I am anxious to hear what people have to say about this game.
I think they're anxious, too.
I think they are, too. So we will go into this next. Rahimi Harris and Grody. Layla is off. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
in that moment, Ben came over to me right before, and he goes, these are times that you're made for. So, you know, it provided, you know, belief and confidence that he has in me. And then from there, I went to the huddle and, you know, looked everybody in the eyes and, you know, this is the moment. This is where we go win the game. And, you know, just trying to be as composed. Obviously, we had a negative play on that drive that set us back, I think, 10 yards on the holding. And just being composed, trying to be as calm as possible for those guys and look everybody in the eyes and understand that this is our moment. This is where we go win the game.
Caleb Williams talking about the last drive and what he learned from Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson instilling confidence in him. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are live from Circa Sports in Las Vegas.
So Kevin O'Connell, praised as a quarterback guru all around the league, desired by Caleb Williams as a prospect, and obviously just everything that KOC has done, everything that he does is designed to build the confidence of a quarterback. Everything. And he's talked about in that way. And you can hear it. We've played tape, right, of Kevin.
Absolutely.
Talking about, like, oh, he's just so good at this. He's so good at that. Whether it was about Darnold. He did it this week about Carson Wentz. Like, he builds the guys up. So, to me, we have focused so much on how hard Ben is coaching Caleb and how great that is. But the authenticity is that it's not just ripping somebody apart for screwing up.
Right.
It's the full complexity of a coach relationship where it's love, man. It is tough love. It is parental in the best possible way, or coach player in the best. You're helping an immature young player become mature. So that's why let's listen to them both, okay? Tanny cut them two together about how Ben and Caleb talking about the conversation, both of them, before that final drive.
In that moment, Ben came over to me right before, and he goes,
I said, this is what you're built for. These are the moments that he thrives in the most. I think that's really been the story of his life, to be honest with you. And I know he came through for us in a big way.
From there, I went to the huddle and, you know, looked everybody in the eyes and, you know, this is the moment. This is where we go win the game. And, you know, just trying to be as composed. Obviously, we had a negative play on that drive that set us back, I think, 10 yards on the holding. And just being composed, trying to be as calm as possible for those guys and look everybody in the eyes and understand that this is our moment. This is where we go win the game.
So it's not just that Ben tells him, hey, this is the moment for you. And this is the story of your life, which is like not just like he's gotten to know him as a person. Like, hey, man, you're good at this in your life. It's not just that he tells him that. It's that Caleb then feels like he can then go be what he needs to be in the huddle to the players.
And he really has. Like, that's something where we've discussed it and kind of really processed it, I think, on this show, where if you're trying to figure out if there's been growth in Caleb, you don't have to look at the hero ball, fourth quarter, any of that stuff. I know he can do that. And that's part of the reason why the concept of bust to me is completely off the table, because I know that he's wired for those moments. Now, the difference between him being a starting quarterback, a serviceable quarterback in greatness, is him being more consistent. And then knowing and he's talked about it, Ben's talked about it. In the moments when it's time for you to be Superman, go be Superman. But you don't have to do that for 60 minutes of a game. Let the other guys work for you and make plays for you. And know that those guys are capable of making plays for you.
Yeah.
We're watching an ascension with Rome. Like, we're watching a guy who could be, I think, pretty special. And I wasn't completely sold last year, but I think that you're seeing a guy that understands the serious nature of the position and is starting to get it and understand where to be and how to be there for his quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true. And the bond between Caleb and Rome is a big, big deal. But I can't get enough of this relationship and watching what this town has never seen, which is an offensive-minded head coach really, truly having a relationship in full with the young quarterback prospect where he rips him when he screws up, and he rips him in front of everybody when he screws up, and then he builds him up the way that he needs to, and he gets him to turn into what Caleb is hopefully turning into. Caleb said that his biggest growth is keeping my composure for my guys. That he said that's his biggest point of growth, not like fallen prey to the bad body language that he had before. So remember when Ben called him out for body language? Now Caleb's admitting to it, and he's comfortable talking about it. That's growth.
And the fact that Ben walked in the door and immediately did it.
Right away. And you know we did it privately. You know we did it in front of everybody because, hey, man, you got to stop this. So Caleb is like, he's starting to believe it. He's starting to believe some of the stuff that Ben is telling him that he's capable of. You're right about 60 minutes, man. Caleb's day was very mixed when you look at play after play after play. Like he threw screen passes into the dirt.
Yeah.
He went for a check down at one point to Menungai and then threw it like 4 yards behind him. There were a couple replays from behind him where it looked like he missed a DeAndre Swift wide open on the left side when he threw into double coverage to Cole. Like, he had a very, very uneven day in terms of every play.
I do think that there is a book that's a little out on him now, and I'm not surprised by it. Like, it was frustrating to me because I got pushed back during the draft process when I brought this up. Caleb's not as big as he's listed. Not as tall as he's listed. And watching him have issues, like all quarterbacks do have issues with pressure up the middle. And I think that you're going to see teams continue to try and do that. And you saw Max Crosby moved around a lot or loop inside to go and try and make plays. And I think that when other defensive coordinators will watch Caleb, they'll go, hey, if you can't get to him because he is really athletic and dynamic in the pocket, okay, back off and get your hands up in the air and try to knock a pass down.
Yes.
The beauty of Caleb, though, is that he still is. Like, that throw on the sideline was another ridiculous throw.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got those in him. We got breaking news, by the way, here on 670 The Score.
Which is brought to you by Wildfire, which has been feeding people and doing a great job for 30 years.
Matthew Boyd's going to start game one for the Cubs in their wild card series against the Padres tomorrow at Wrigley Field.
I got no issue with that.
Matthew Boyd has 12 wins at Wrigley this year. He has an ERA, I believe, of 2.51 at Wrigley. You have to go back to Greg Maddux to find a Cubs pitcher's season with that many wins and an ERA that good. He's been incredibly successful at home, and his last start, he had a nice bounce back at Wrigley.
What a story.
Dude, amazing.
For that guy.
Amazing.
Like, from injury prone to missing out on all this stuff because of injuries to finding a place where he belongs, becoming an all-star, and now starting game one of a playoff series.
This is the most innings he's thrown in a season since 2019, Matthew Boyd. And now he gets to start the first game of a playoff series, and deservedly so.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.